Back with you here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. The TV voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, Jim Paschke, nice enough to spend a couple of minutes with us here on this busy Tuesday. Jim, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, how are you? Well, there we go. We got stuck. How are you, Jim?
I'm great. Thanks, Grant. Appreciate it.
Hey, before we talk about the Bucks this year, how much of a impact do you think not having Malcolm Brogdon on this team will be? How do you think they make up for that? Where are the big differences? And talk about that to start off this conversation.
Well, of course, Malcolm Brogdon was a great player. He did a lot of wonderful things for the Bucks. He's going to do great things for Indiana. A 50-40-90 shooter, the eighth in NBA history. Over 50% field goal percentage, 40% on threes, 90 at the line. That doesn't happen very often. So anything we say is not intended to diminish his talent by any means. The Bucks do have some pieces, however, that will fit well. They made additions during the summer, Grant, in Robin Lopez, and then getting three-point shooters, veteran three-point shooters in Wesley Matthews and Kyle Korver. And Dragan Bender has come over. He was drafted by Phoenix in 2016 with the fourth pick. And this system seems to be suiting him pretty well, and he's been knocking down threes and doing some nice things. So I think by committee, they might be able to make up some of what Malcolm gave them. And then, of course, there's the whole financial side of Malcolm's contract. It was a pretty rich contract with Indiana, and the Bucks have to be concerned and sort of position themselves for what's going to happen should Giannis opt in to stay beyond next season. And they have to allocate that money in a certain way to make sense here. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, I think.
Jim, you got Eric Bledsoe signed to a contract last year, dinged up, going to be out for a little bit. Talk about, well, one of them, Frank Mason from the Kings. Talk about your backup point guard position, seeing that we talked about Malcolm. How do they sustain in that area? More Giannis handling the ball? How do you go about that?
Actually, George Hill is back. He was signed as a free agent. He stayed with the Bucks after last season. He did a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. Another veteran who played at Indiana and some other places, of course. He has deep playoff experience, championship experience, and he's done a very fine job. And you mentioned Frank Mason. He's on a two-way contract with the Bucks, and the way he's playing, that looks like it might be one of the better two-way contracts in the league to me. He can play, and he's done a very good job. So he has free time, actually, before the G League season starts on November 8th. So the Bucks will certainly use him without getting a count against the 45 days that he can be in the NBA during the G League season. So, I think they'll be okay. Pat Connaughton can handle the ball a little bit. Sterling Brown, there's a lot of people that can fill in. And, of course, Giannis can always handle the ball.
You know, you talk about Giannis, the one thing about his game, he's gotten better and better each year. He's still very young. Where do you see the stride this year?
Well, he said this summer after winning the MVP that he was only at 60% of his capabilities. And if that's true,
that's scary.
For
right.
Quite a treat. The league should be, wary of that, I would say. He has to improve his shooting. He knows that. He's trying to improve the three-point shooting or the deep shooting. And then at the free throw line, and I asked Steve Novak on the air the other night, would you rather have him become a better three-point shooter or a better free throw shooter? And, of course, the answer is easy. You want your stars who are in at the end of games and have to carry teams in close games to be able to make free throws. And the Bucks' entire series against Toronto was decided by a total of 6 points, and Milwaukee missed too many free throws. It wasn't just Giannis. It was everybody. So those are the areas where I think he's concentrating. And then I will tell you this, in the preseason games that he has played in, he's playing like he's in the finals already. And he's coming with that kind of resolve, and it's something I've never seen before in my years with Milwaukee. I've never seen a player play like that in games that don't count. So he's developing that winning habit and that winning approach in the preseason and others are following. It's been pretty impressive. And this is an incredibly deep team, as you can probably tell by the roster.
You know, you guys signed Chris Middleton to a big deal. As you watch the evolution of Chris Middleton, do you, him being an All-Star last year, do you expect him to take a jump, or is it sufficient for him to continue to do pretty much what he did last year and kind of be the second piece around Giannis?
You know, Doug, I think the second part of that is probably just fine. Chris Middleton is such a great, seamless second piece, and he is comfortable with that, playing with Giannis in that role, and he's very good at it. His mid-range game is still superb. I would say that he's the best second piece that this team could have right now, and he's very, you know, very comfortable with that. He told me this summer that, you know, he wanted to come back. He wants to play with Giannis. They will have a job to finish. They're doing this together. They talk about it all the time. Those two are the leaders of the team in that regard. And so I think that it's just fine if Chris Middleton is what Chris Middleton has been.
All right, let's talk about this Eastern Conference. If we talk about Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Boston, those are the three top teams. And if there's a fourth, then please give me your opinion. But handicap this Eastern Conference for me.
Well, I suppose the folks in Toronto as reigning champions would put themselves in the top five somewhere. The team that I'm kind of keeping an eye on very closely, Grant, is Indiana. I think if Oladipo gets back in a reasonable amount of time, I think that team could be an interesting team and could be quite formidable too. So those are the ones that I'm kind of keeping an eye on at this point. But, you know, you never know where teams are going to come from either. I don't close anybody out when I say that.
As you see the way that Coach Bud put together this roster and going into this season, do you see any emphasis that he's put on any particular area over something else than maybe he did last year?
Doug, I think he's still going to, you know, take the let it fly mentality. He wants the threes. We've seen, you know, 40 threes in preseason games, so they're not letting up there. And, you know, there's a couple of little tweaks that I'm sure they'll bring to what Giannis does and how the team plays around him and, and how they can fend off some of the defenses that we saw in the playoffs. Toronto played a box and one, and it was a problem. And it was ironic in the playoffs because in that Toronto series, the Bucks missed their last 11 threes. There are lessons to be taken from that series, and I think these players have done that. And it's still a really good situation here. Day one of training camp was outstanding. They went after it, got after it, and everybody on the team supports one another. This has the look of a very, very good basketball team right now. And I would suggest at this point, it looks even better than last year. So we'll see. I'm not making a prediction there, but they look awfully good, and their habits have been excellent so far.
Final thing for you, Jim. We were so we were so thrilled, and I mean that, with our tour of your new arena last year when Doug and I were in Milwaukee. We think it is beautiful. What has that meant for the downtown area?
Oh, it's just fantastic. The area is growing. The Milwaukee's on the move, and I would suggest that a big part of that movement started when the new owners came in and started the development with Fiserv Forum and all of the things that are going on around the building. And as you know, next summer the Democratic National Convention will be in Milwaukee.
Right.
So, you know, our city's getting a lot of attention, and it's always been a quiet gem. Yes, it gets a little cool here in the wintertime, but it's a pretty good city, and I think it's a great city, as a matter of fact. And Milwaukee's starting to get its due, and the building and all of the development downtown is really picking up, and it's kind of an exciting place to be right now, Grant.
Jim, we really appreciate the time. We'll see you during the season. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. All right, good stuff from Jim Paschke. We'll talk about the Toronto Raptors in about 15 minutes. Don't forget that Mike Pereira, the NFL on Fox, he's going to be coming on with us at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to talk to Mike and get his take on what we've seen, where this may go. And, yeah, it's I know fans are frustrated, and they have been frustrated, I really think, since instant replay has come around, because there's been so many different aspects, Grant, that you can't really solve it and understand sometimes what exactly are you looking at when it goes back, because I know our eyes as viewers see one thing. Obviously, they're seeing something else, because a lot of times there's a challenge and they're not overturning the play, the calls on the field.
Yeah. All right. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We take you to the distance as we get you to 7 o'clock tomorrow. Doug and I will be at Golden One Center getting you ready for the Kings and the team from Melbourne, Australia. No De'Aaron Fox, no concern as it relates to the opener a week from Wednesday, but no need to play him tomorrow after the sore back last night.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly Corey Joseph's diagnosis, but if he is available, it would be good, because then you get more minutes there. Yogi Ferrell's going to get some minutes. I think Kyle Guy can get some minutes at the point guard. As of last night, you really saw Luke trusting the fact, because when De'Aaron went out, he went straight to Bogdan Bogdanovic, allowed him to control the tempo and pace of the game with Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley. I think Dwayne Dedman, was out there at that time. So that was an interesting look. And the Kings actually went on a little bit of a run. So good to, if you're a Kings fan, know, and you haven't seen Corey Joseph in that position, and I think he's going to do fantastic as well, that when De'Aaron goes out, that was a point of concern last year. When he went out, the Kings, they faltered quite a bit and sputtered. And last night I thought was a good sign that they can continue to find a way to play with pace without running up and down the floor.
And I don't want to jinx this for a week from Saturday, but boy, Mike Conley doesn't look like to me that he wants any part of De'Aaron Fox.
I told you.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
One thing. I mean, I think that Mike Conley's going to do good there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that De'Aaron is special, man. There's not too much that you can do with him. I mean, he gets out in the open court. I think he's getting way more consistent on his jump shot. I like the way it looks. I know he shot some air balls, different things, but the fact that he's confident enough to pull it, and it looks like he's running the team really well. Not to mention, I love him getting out in the passing lane and getting that steal last night. Unfortunately, unless you streamed the game, you didn't get to see it, but it was fantastic. Trust me on that one.
It was fantastic. And so one more little tune-up for tomorrow, and then the Kings will start playing him for real a week from Wednesday. In Phoenix, then back home Friday for Portland, then right back in Utah on Saturday. The good news on that back-to-back is Utah on Friday night is in L.A. playing the Lakers. So both teams are facing the same thing, a back-to-back, both traveling from the same time zone. Both teams will get in late and no advantage there.
Yeah, just going into Utah, Grant, they've done an incredible job with their arena. That Vivint Smart Home Arena, the refurbishment of it was great. That is a tough place to play, man. I mean, they are, and I just talking about it, as the Kings continue to define Golden One Center, I would say a model of it is what they do in Utah. Those people are on top of you. It is an extreme home court advantage, and they get after you. It feels like walking into Arco Arena.
All right, the NBA, again, a week from tonight, the regular season will begin with a couple of games. Toronto, who will be defending their championship, will have their ring ceremony and everything else a week from tonight when they entertained Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans. So that is the opener of the NBA season in Toronto.
Oh boy, no better way to get it started off, on top of the fact that you're going to be raising a banner north of the border, but you also have Zion Williamson, so that plays right into the NBA, and everybody getting a good look at Zion and what he's bringing. He's been highly impressive in the preseason. I believe last tick, I want to say it was 69 or 79% from the field, which lets you know that he's getting a lot of layups and dunks. But if you can't stop him, similar to Shaq, then that's exactly what you do. So a young team in New Orleans that is going to be exciting to watch, and they're on national TV quite a bit, so you're going to get a look at them.
Somebody was also asking me about the contract situation with Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic. They're different. Buddy's deal, if he's going to get an extension, has to be done before the start of the season. Bogey can be done anytime. Do I believe there's any negatives to the Kings not having Buddy an extension? Not really, because, you know, he would be a restricted free agent anyway after next season. And should he receive an offer sheet, the Kings would be able to match any offer. So, you know, and again, you and I talked about this earlier with the situation going on over in China as it relates to basketball-related income, which the players get a gross revenue. If I'm a free agent or if I am a player eligible for an extension right now, I got to factor into what may happen with the salary cap next year.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And I think you said that very nicely, Grant, from the standpoint that both of those guys are going to be restricted free agents if nothing transpires. So the Kings have the first right of refusal, meaning that if someone gives either one of those guys an offer when that time comes, Kings have the right to match that offer and then keep the player. So this is it's a good situation for the Kings to be in. I'm hoping that they can keep them both and really keep a nucleus together that looks to be really, really strong.
Yeah, we'll find out in a week. And again, if it doesn't happen, then Buddy plays this year and you talk business again next summer. Do I think it's a risk for Buddy? You know, he'd have to answer that question. I can't talk to – all I would say is there's always the possibility of an injury. And there's the possibility that the salary cap may go down 10% or more. And if that happens, there's less money.
You know, that's interesting because I don't think we've ever experienced that. Now, I'm going to lay this out and you tell me. So you get an offer, whatever that offer is, right, as a player. Then you don't consummate a deal. Play the season. It's over. Salary cap goes down. As an organization, does your offer now reflect that? Or do you stick with the offer?
No, the offer would 100% reflect
that. Yeah, I would think so, too.
Well, it has to. And the reason why I say it has to is there are a lot of other players on the team.
Right.
And as an organization, you can't then give more of the pie to one individual. That's not going to happen.
Right. I would agree. That's why, you know, players that are already signed, their deals are worth more if the salary cap goes down. But they're signed, so they get what they got. I don't remember seeing something like this. I've been through holdouts and different things like that, but this is an interesting one.
It's not anything that a player could ignore, and
no.
I'm talking about players' representatives because they're the ones that do the negotiating. I don't believe that there's anything that – I mean, it's common sense. An agent cannot be ignoring what's going on in China and how that may impact their clients' salaries.
If they do – that, I guess the word is malpractice. I don't know the word that I would use for that, but that is ultimately what you'd be giving your client some bad advice by not taking everything, the full landscape into your decision.
All right. More on LeBron James. All right. He came out again today. He said, I plan on being here and being a captain of this team and trying to figure out how we can win a championship. That's my main goal right now. I feel like I talked about it yesterday. I tweeted out responses to people not understanding my knowledge and where it came from with my brain and learning from the situation. I'm talking about it now. I won't talk about it again. I'd be cheating my teammates by continuing to harp on something that won't benefit us. We're trying to win a championship. That's what we're here for. We're not politicians. It's a huge political thing, but we are leaders and we can step up at times. I'm not saying at this particular time, but if you don't feel like you should speak on things, you shouldn't have to. That was his comment today after practice.
Yeah. And maybe.
And he's smart for saying that because he can't win.
Well, you're spot on. I was thinking maybe that should have been the way that he went about the very first one because it you're right. It is a no-win situation. If that would have been his first comment, Grant, he still would have got picked apart. This is a no-win situation.
He said that he would address the situations that he's passionate about. Quote, it's a tough situation we're all in right now with the association, us as athletes, GMs and owners and so forth. I also don't think every issue should be everybody's problem as well. When things come up, there's multiple things that we haven't talked about that have happened in our own country that we don't bring up. There's things that happen in my own community in trying to help my kids graduate high school and go off to college. That's been my main concern the last couple of years with my school, trying to make sure the inner city kids that grow up in my hometown can have a brighter future and look at me as an inspiration to get out of the hellhole of the inner city. We don't talk about those stories enough. we want to talk about so many other things as well. There's issues all over the world. I think the best thing we can do is, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. If you don't have a lot of knowledge about it or quite understand it, I don't think you should talk about it, because it puts you in a tough position. Now, to me, that would pertain to him and his comments yesterday. That's my opinion. He said, for me personally, I felt that I've tried to heal things throughout my whole life by just being who I am and playing the game that I love, playing at a high level that has brought a lot of people together, playing the game the right way with my teammates, being a model citizen in the community, being a respectful son, respectful husband, respectful dad, and understanding that every time I leave the house, that it is so much bigger than just myself personally. Obviously, I'm not perfect. None of us are, but I try to do things that make my family proud, make my fans proud every time I step out of the house. So that, for me, is what it is. I agree with him 100% on that. He has been a model citizen. He has done all of that, and for that, I commend him, because he has, as the face of the league, he's done all of that and more.
Oh, no doubt. He's covered all of the bases in many, many ways. And, you know, after, you know, Magic, Michael, and these guys left, he stepped up in quite a few big ways.
Now, he did say something that I said at the beginning of the show, and I think you would agree with me. The best thing we can do is continue to play the game of basketball. And I believe the game of basketball and the word sport has always brought people together.
Yes.
For the great of love and not the great of hate. And I think this is the greatest sport in the world. And obviously, it is a small bump in the road, but I think time heals all. And I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, this just happened, what he said, but you almost said that verbatim. And yeah, I think that you're right. Basketball, sports in general, brings people together in so many different aspects. If it's from communities, if it's nationalities, if it's different parts of the world, different countries, and you get to see each other. The one common thread usually that you have is the sport that you play, and you don't need to speak the same language to understand each other.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the Toronto Raptors for a few minutes. No Kawhi Leonard, but they still have some very good players. We'll talk with Matt Devlin, TV voice of the Raptors, next. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. We continue our trips around the NBA, get a couple of minutes with the Toronto Raptors, as they are going to have some night a week from this evening. Boy, I can't even imagine what the scene is going to be there. Matt Devlin, the TV voice, nice enough to join us. Matt, it's Grant and Doug Christie. How are you?
Doing great, Grant and Doug. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Not as good as you're doing, because a week from tonight's going to be crazy. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, you know what? It has been just an amazing summer. It's something that has captured not only the city, which Doug has played in, but the entire country. From a television viewing standpoint, the numbers statistically were like the Super Bowl numbers in the United States. And it's something that the entire country just got behind. It's been amazing. And to see the banner go up, and then also the rings on Tuesday, and then on top of that, you have Zion in the building. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't even imagine watching what we saw as far as the parade went on, and how many people were out there. Just, you know, since the inception of the Raptors being at the Sky Dome, Brandon College practicing, and just it was something to behold, and to watch them now win a championship. What do you think? You know, it's been a long time since the Maple Leafs were really, really good, and obviously with the Blue Jays winning a World Series. What does this mean for not only Toronto but the country of Canada?
Well, you know, certainly from a growth of the game. There's actually more kids registered in Canada playing basketball than there are hockey right now.
Wow.
And the game continues to grow. There's no question about that. Just like, conversely, hockey's growing in the United States. If you look at their highest number of NHL players, 177 in the NHL. Well, as we all know, you know, there's closing in on 20 Canadians in the NBA. That's second only to the U.S. The game just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And a lot of that, you certainly, as you know, Doug and Grant, you've been in this league a long time, it is the Carter effect and Vince coming here. Mm-hmm. But then over the last 6 years, when you have Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and that great run that they put together getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then Masai Ujiri making a bold move, bringing in Kawhi, bringing in Danny Green, and then ultimately making the move to get Marc Gasol, I cannot tell you how many people, you know, it's not the young demographic. They're all watching basketball, but it's people in this country that did not grow up with the game. I cannot tell you how many people I run into that say, geez, you know, I never, you know, really watched. I didn't grow up with it. And then it just captured me during this postseason run. And now they're fans.
Wow.
And it was an amazing run because it started with a loss against Orlando and everybody going, oh, here we go again. And then four consecutive wins. And then Philadelphia, which was just a, you know, a heavyweight bout, winning with the shot at the end, Kawhi Leonard, and then going down 2-0 to Milwaukee, winning four straight. And then obviously, you know, what happened with Golden State and the Raptors in the NBA Finals, where after game two, Golden State taking that game and Nick Nurse coming into the locker room saying, hey, they got one here, let's go get one there. And Kawhi Leonard, the best player in the room, said, I'll leave out the expletive, but said, you know, forget about that. Let's go get them both in Oakland. And the team went out and got them both, right?
Wow.
And so there's just so many phenomenal moments, so many great stories that it was just truly sensational to see, be a part of, and obviously a country of 34 million people behind you is really cool.
Matt, you know the story. Nobody thinks Toronto's going to be any good this year because there's no Kawhi Leonard. Do you think the players are using that as kind of that proverbial chip on their shoulder to show everybody that, hey, we're still going to be pretty good?
Oh, Grant, you've been around this league. You know it. You're exactly right. They had a chip on their shoulder last year. A couple of things. You know, everybody last year had a point to prove, right? You know, Kawhi had a point to prove he could win one, you know, not in San Antonio. And then obviously a collection of players that came together that hadn't won it outside of Danny Green, but had been close, whether it be Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry. And then you add in the younger players that were developed with the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors last year were 17-5 during the regular season without Kawhi Leonard, and people forget that. They also had to deal with various injuries during the regular season, along with Kawhi's load management, which led to 22 different starting lineups. So to me, the regular season is not the question. This is a team that's going to be a top 3-4 team for sure in the Eastern Conference, as far as I'm concerned. You have Pascal Siakam, who was the most improved player, that's going to take that next step. The question now will be Norman Powell stepping in as a two guard. Is he ready to go? It certainly appears to be that way from watching him in training camp at the preseason. He's really shot the ball well. And then OG Anunoby, who struggled last year, and now he's going to have the opportunity to play the three. And the Raptors, to me, are poised to not only position themselves to quite possibly make a move at the trade deadline, given the contract situations that they have, to either bring in somebody or ride this out. So to me, I think they're going to be a lot better than people think they are.
I think I know the answer, but for our listeners, Pascal Siakam, what do you think is the next jump that he needs to make to kind of take that next step on the stage? He took a fantastic one last year, struggled here and there, but I thought I'm a big fan. What can he do to take that next step?
Well, as both of you know, when you take a player like Pascal, who is passionate about the game, loves the game, wants to put in the work, does put in the work, and is serious about his business, and yet, you know, off of the court has a lot of fun with it, and you have a development system in place, you get the most improved player of the year. And at times showed that ability to be a star. And so now we know that you're going to have a situation where defensively teams are going to be zeroed in on them. We saw that during the postseason as well. And so it becomes, you know, it's the old adage of what defines greatness. It's consistency, doing it night in and night out. And for him, I think that's it. But he takes advantage of other teams' fours because of what he can do. He can initiate the offense. He can now shoot the three. To me, he's going to be an all-star this year. And quite possibly somebody that you could build around when you add a couple of other pieces. And I'll tell you a great story, if we have a couple minutes sure. here. We were actually in Sacramento, and I'll never forget Nick Nurse, the head coach, who did a masterful job during the postseason, all season long, former assistant coach of the Raptors. We went out and had a cup of coffee one morning on a rare off day, you know, after a couple of back-to-backs where, you know, and we sat there and we just started talking basketball. And we're talking about Pascal, and I was mentioning how he had been struggling, turning the ball over, you know, because they really wanted him to initiate the offense, get a rebound, get going, right, 6'9", difficult to handle in transition. And but, you know, things early on, as you would expect, weren't necessarily going his way. And he said at that time, now think about this, Nick Nurse is replacing the NBA coach of the year. There's pressure to win, but there's also pressure to ultimately win at the end. And there's also that pressure to develop, you know, players and get the right environment. And long and the short of it, he said, you know, Matt, if I pull back now, you know, and sacrifice his own individual growth just to get a W during the regular season, he goes, I don't think it's going to help the team or Pascal ultimately later in the season. I'm willing to live with the turnovers. I'm willing to live with this now so that we see something greater later on.
Wow.
And that obviously is inclusive of what? It's inclusive of extra video work, extra time in the gym with him, all those things, which they did. And they just did a masterful job of you know, surrounding him with the right resources, and Pascal totally believing not only in himself but the process. And it was really amazing to see and watch, and a lot of fun. And I think he's going to be a superstar in this league.
Final thing for you, Matt. As you look at this Raptor squad, what do you think is the biggest question mark?
Well, I think it's going to be consistent three-point shooting. You know, Danny Green during the regular season, although he struggled at times in the postseason, he was there for 80 of the 82 games during the regular season. And as we know, he can make a shot. So I think it's going to be some of that. However, you'll see the usage rate of a Marc Gasol go up. You'll see Kyle Lowry's usage rate from a three-point shooting standpoint go up. And you'll also see, obviously, Norman Powell there, and then Fred VanVleet, who Kyle and Fred play a lot together. So I think that would be one of the things. But they have a point to prove. How many NBA teams that win a title come back and say, you know what, we have something to prove. And this is a team that has that, and they feel that, and I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, enjoy next Tuesday. It's going to be one of the great nights in the history of Toronto sports. I really believe that. Yeah. It's going to be incredible. So we always appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, all the best. See you guys.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Matt Devlin, the TV voice of the Raptors. Tell you what we'll do. We'll come back. Don't forget Mike Pereira, the NFL on Fox. At 6, we'll talk to him about what a debacle that was last night in Green Bay. Your phone calls next here on Sports 1140. What's wrong with us? Don't even ask.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, so coming up at 6, Mike Pereira, the NFL on Fox.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Let's get some questions.
Oh, I have questions for him.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
listen, one of the questions that does Mike have an idea? Where is this going?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like, where are we going with all this? Because we see week after week, bad calls have been around for a long time, but now we're having the ability to frame by frame break it down, and it's just looking worse and worse.
Bad news last night, wasn't it?
It was. What was your call on the play across the middle after half where the receiver went and you could tell the defender was going for the ball, but their heads collided?
I thought that was just a
bang bang play.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a penalty.
I didn't either, but it was a penalty. But yes. I didn't think so either. I don't know. Those are the times where I don't know where they're going with this. That's the problem. Is it some bad calls? But when it comes down to deciding a game, oh boy, that's when it's tough.
All right, 339-1140, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We, again, are looking forward to having Mike Pereira on from the NFL on Fox. That is coming your way in a little more than 10 minutes. Kings at their final tune-up tomorrow before they take on the Phoenix Suns a week from tomorrow. Doug and I are looking very much forward to bringing you all 82 games this year. The Kings are only on national TV once, and that's an ESPN game, so we're not knocked off the air. So we're ready to roll, man. We are ready to roll a week from tomorrow.
I cannot wait. This is, more than anything, I want to see the Kings get off to a good start. You know, I think it's important. You and I talked last week. We were talking about, listen, if after 10 games that the Kings are 5-5, would I live with that? Yeah, totally. Would you like them to be 7-3, 8-2, even 6-4 on the winning side of the ledger? Yes, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I think more than anything, the eyeball test has to come into play. Are the Kings playing good? Are they starting to do the things that Luke Walton and the staff
want
them to do?
They look good to me.
They do. I agree.
Offensively, who's going to stop this team? Clippers?
That's
what I mean. I mean, you know, I'm not many.
No, but you know what? And I forget who we were talking. Oh, we were talking to Charles Davis. And he was talking about football. But I was thinking to myself, if we go defense right now, the Clippers are probably the favorite to win the NBA championship. Because defensively in the playoffs, it comes up huge. And that team looks good on the defensive end.
They look great on the defensive end, not good.
Now, there are going to be some teams that come along, like the Kings. There are going to be some teams that all of a sudden you go, wow, they are solid on the defensive side of the ball. Because you don't necessarily need to be number one in defense, because our team wasn't number one. But we were in the top five defensively when we're talking about team statistical categories, and that's where the Kings got to hang their hat.
Could be worse. It could be the St. Louis Cardinals. They're down 7-0 already in the games in the third inning, and they're going to be their season will be ending in about 2.5 hours.
Oh, boy. That's... In the way that it's been done, I mean,
they've
shutout baseball. You're right, manhandled, and they're coming up to bat and just, oh.
All right, let's get to Ryan. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Good. I'm not a football expert, but I'm just curious what your guys' opinion is on this whole refereeing debacle. If the rules have become just so complex and convoluted, it's nearly impossible to call the game correctly.
It's a great question. We're going to talk to Mike Pereira, the NFL on Fox. He's an expert in this area. He's a former official, and so we'll get his take. I think there's a combination of things, but I'm going to let Mike talk about it. I think a lot of the top-notch officials have retired, and I think that the experience level of a lot of NFL officials is not where it needs to be, but I'm going to let Mike Pereira comment on that. But you bring up a very good question.
I feel like the games that I've seen, I even have some of these officials who are calling penalties, and it's almost like as they're talking about the penalty, they're confused themselves as to what they're even calling and why it's a penalty. And I've even seen them have to shut off their mic and talk to their colleagues on the field. It just seems so convoluted.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. I think that officials should talk to one another to make sure they're getting it right. But it's what happened last night on the biggest stage that football has other than the playoffs and the Super Bowl. That was an embarrassment last night.
I agree. Well, I look forward to hearing from Pereira on what his opinion is. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You. Chris is next on Sports 1140. Hi, Chris.
Hey, hi. Commenting on the game last night with the call against Flowers. You know, it's just sad to see it. You know, obviously we all saw that it wasn't – he didn't have his, you know, his hands on his face. So, you know, fortunately it cost you know, the Lions, you know, a touchdown there to Green Bay a couple plays later. And then obviously at the end of the game, you make a call like that.
It's terrible.
That's literally 10 points.
Hey, so listen, the bottom line is the game was poorly officiated by on both sides, but the Lions got their share of the bad calls.
Yes, and it's happened. I mean, it's happened more and more, you know, and often. I'm hoping that, you know, the league's got to do something about this eventually later.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to hearing from Pereira here soon.
Yeah, he's coming on in 10 minutes. I can't wait to have him on because, you know, we have a lot that we want to talk to him about. Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done, but thank you very much for the phone call. Let's get to Brett. Hi, Brett.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
What's up?
Just want to know what you think about the Jags are trading Jalen Ramsey.
I think
the
it's
Rams
a good
right
deal.
Now.
I think it's a good deal. They get two number ones and a fourth. I think it's a good deal. He didn't want to play there. If you don't want to play there, get something for him. They got more than something for him. I think they did very well.
What do you think from the Rams side?
I really think that the Rams are swinging for the fences and going to the Super Bowl last year, not being able to close the deal. Listen, if you're going to get a lockdown corner and he's going to shut down one side of the field, you're obviously going to pay him or you wouldn't have got up off of two first rounds and a fourth round. I totally understand it. When you are in that zone and you are locked in and saying we're going for a Super Bowl and we can get this caliber of player, I totally understand it.
I agree.
You think Tlaib is gone too?
You know, we said we were talking during the break, and it was brought up that, you know, he's a little long in the tooth, but can he still handle his side of the field if he's healthy? I would probably say yes.
Yeah, as soon as he gets healthy,
I don't know if he's going to be healthy this year, but thanks a lot. You guys did a great job. I went to the Chase.
All right, hey, thank you. We really appreciate the call. So Mike Pereira, the NFL on Fox, all right? I can't wait to get him on. He's coming on next right here on Sports 1140.